phone lines open, as you can hear, ding, ding, ding. People are joining in. Welcome you all on the phone line, and if you want to and you have a chance, please give your location.
Dr. Friedman.
Hello, Dr. Friedman. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Dr. Friedman.
Hi there.
Wonderful to have you.
And is Kerry Brown here?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Kerry.
Hi.
How are you doing? What are you doing here?
Good to hear you, Terry.
Thank you.
Good to meet you here.
Terry, you.
All right. I'm going to mute everybody. Okay? And let me see if there's any last minute questions.
All right, Vin, I got the line muted and songs are off.
No last minute questions. So, just a second. We're starting. Okay.
This
Welcome,
conference
everybody.
Is being recorded.
Welcome. This is November 13th. 2013. That probably means something. 1313. This is Winfrey in Sedona. Terry Brown in Sedona. And we have on the line tonight, besides all of you all over the place, we have Dr. Friedman here. Except he's not on the moderator line. Did you see his line? Can you unmute him?
Yes. Hold on a second. Here we go.
Hello.
Oh, I see. There he is. Yeah. Hey, Dr. Friedman.
Hello.
Hey. You know, an interesting thing about the way that I approach what I do with people is, you know, in my own work, is I never tell people they should believe it. I say, don't believe that we're talking to the Elohim. Don't believe anything until you have some kind of inner confirmation. And otherwise, just stay on the fence. Stay neutral. So, I know we talked on Monday about you being a reincarnation of Matthew with Jesus. And I tell you, I was convinced. I've read more. That's probably true. But I tell people that are listening, please don't believe it. Just consider it, put it into your soup, and that way, if Dr. Friedman comes into our calls and is sharing himself because he's a doctor this lifetime, you shouldn't make a big deal about it. Because one of the problems about being anything that's recognized is it intimidates people, okay?
Yeah.
And then people defer to you and they make you an expert. And, you know, quite frankly, I had that when I was younger, a good part of my life, and it was terrible. I mean, I just wanted to be a regular guy hanging out with people, and suddenly I had touched their spirits through my music. So then I have to play music and then disappear. Couldn't be around them. I didn't know how to be around them, you know? So once I realized that I could be who I was and I would not respond to being put on a pedestal or being something special, and I will let Terry be on the pedestal. Terry, are you on a pedestal tonight?
Pardon me?
I'm talking to Terry Brown.
Terry Brown?
Terry Brown.
No. I'm not on a pedestal. I don't put myself on a pedestal in any event.
Well, Wynn, I would agree with you. I've told patients and my followers the same thing. Hey, forget about me, and if you like something I said, put it in your consciousness, work with it, sleep on it, meditate on it, pray on it, it seems right, acceptance.
Right.
And then reject open. I was telling them exactly the same thing. So we're together on this one.
I think if you don't feel right with it,
let it go. It's not right for you now, period.
Or just consider it. Leave it in the back burner. I'll tell you one thing that, you know, we have a question tonight about something you said on Monday. And our format on Wednesdays is, you know, people, we have this experience for the past, I have this experience for the past 10 years of having two different people in my life keep tapping me on the shoulder and telling me that they're the Elohim and they want to talk to me.
Yeah.
And it took me a few years for me to think, you know, first of all, who are the Elohim? How do I know it's not a negative force that's tricking me? How do you know that the voice that said it was Jesus was not a negative force? That you have to put all those things into the realm of possibilities. And, you know, for me, I took that voice and asked it so many questions.
Yeah.
And it resonates with people.
Yeah.
And Jesus had really good criteria. By your works he shall be known.
That's right.
And I said, I'm going to apply that criteria to what I'm doing.
Good.
And, you know, we have, like, people. There's people listening to us all over the world right now. I mean, not a million, you know, a few hundred that are listening on this call. And I don't have to be anything for those people. They feel energy on these calls. They feel connection to these sources on these calls. Some of them have miracles. Some of them have transformations. And I just show up, and everything just happens. That way, I don't have to get my ego involved. But I'm doing it. But I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm just showing up.
I understand what you mean when I say it. Let it incubate in your mind a little bit. Allow it to incubate and see how your body feels and your mind feels, your soul feels and everything else. Your emotions feel about it. And I feel if then you say, yeah, it rings true with me, then accept it. Otherwise, you know, ignore it or let it incubate. Incubate.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, people get so intent on wanting to believe the right stuff, okay? In other words, it doesn't matter whether you were Matthew or not.
That's right.
It doesn't matter whether we're talking to the Elohim or not. What matters is what happens to you, you the listener, who comes to this call and who feels energies, has epiphanies, has some kind of growth, and that we create a, how would I say it, a grounding.
A format,
a place to go, a place that's above the ruckus of the world, a place that's above this world that can be so tough and so hard, and that we committed to be here for you. And you don't have to give up your empowerment by coming here and saying, what are the Elohim going to tell me to do? Or what is the wind going to say? You know, ultimately, everyone is in their own empowerment.
That's right.
And even if it's Jesus, even if it's the Elohim, it's like there's a lot of wisdom that has come through all those people. And you are in your empowerment to learn how to use that to lift yourself. And so that's the spirit of these questions. And we have some beautiful questions tonight. And sometimes I answer the question. Sometimes I just know the answer. Or at least I give my answer. And then I turn it over to Terry. And they give their answer. And it's I'm really glad. I'm honored that you are chosen to be with us again tonight. You're welcome here anytime. You know, Dr. Friedman is you know, going through kind of a thing where he's bedridden. And so we have a refuge for bedridden people to fly around while they're in bed. It's like, so it's actually a good place because you hold energy and you anchor energy and your presence, I can tell you, I know your presence makes a difference to other people in the line. You know, this is a line where people are meeting the other realm. And some people can hold energy and some people need energy. So we've learned, my take on it, we've learned to do it as a group. And we have people that are listening now that understand that by being here, they're helping to build an energy in another realm. They're helping to lay a track that is a track for the future in this realm that makes a difference. That's the way I see it. And I think I'm right. But everyone has to have their own inner confirmation of that. So I'm honored to have you. And that
Thank
you are so welcome anytime. And so I know there'll be lots of opportunities if you're around to share your gifts with the people that are here. Some of them are really together, and some of them are really struggling. Some of them are sick. Some of them need money. And if there's any that are rich, they're not sending it. So send more money, okay? In any case, let's get started. Terry, are you ready? Terry Brown? Hello, Terry.
As ready as ever. I showed up anyway.
You showed up anyway, right. Right, okay. And we have this standing joke because it's taken Terry 2 years to learn how to mute and unmute the telephone. And I think she's got it down now. At least she's reduced the delay from like 2 minutes to 20 seconds. Right, Terry?
Right, and now I need to learn how to use my Bluetooth.
You're learning Bluetooth.
Yes.
I will bet you. I'll bet you. Dr. Friedman doesn't know how to use Bluetooth.
No, I don't have Bluetooth.
You have Bluetooth?
No.
See that? I knew it. I knew that was the answer. All right. Okay. I have to say that one of the things that I got from your book and from our talk on Monday was that how Jesus really was human, and that he really enjoyed people, being alive, hanging out with people,
very much
partying.
So.
And, there is this thing about exalting Jesus, and Jesus is the Son of God, and so we better, excuse my terminology, but kiss his ass, because Son of God, the Elohim created this realm, and when I asked them, I said, do you guys really like being worshipped? They said, no. They said, we're like your higher dimensional friends. Worship creates division. It creates, there's an us and there's a you, and we prefer to be the higher aspect of you. You're the lower aspect of us. And I thought that was well put. That was a question that I asked early on to them, because I was trying to figure out if I should feel intimidated or not. And I didn't have to feel intimidated. Okay, so let us start here.
Ben, can you improve your sound? You sounded earlier a lot better.
Earlier I sounded better?
Yes. First time you called in.
Is this better?
Yes.
Sounds okay to me.
Let's give it.
All right?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll do it this way. Okay. I hope I don't hang up now. Okay. But we're still on the line.
You're still here.
Okay, great. So let's go. Let's go. We're going to go in the light. And a lot of people feel a shift or a change in vibration when I do this. So you can note for that change of feeling. Father, Mother, God, ground and protect, carry myself and every person on this line. And any negativity be transmuted to the highest good of all concerned, to the highest realm of light. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energies of the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. But right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present that's speaking through Terry, keeping in mind that this source that speaks to us explains that they're a group of pure energy entities that are in the center of the universe, which means they're at the center of us, that have the ability to project from where they are into where we are. And while they're talking, they're projecting as well. So we turn it over to them. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra On. This is the 13th November, 2013. It is our delight to be with you and to have this opportunity to connect with each and every one of you. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. We have some questions tonight. And our first question is, hang on, from Jay. And Jay, I'd like to take a little shot at saying a couple things, and then I'll turn it over to you. You didn't give his city, so see if you can locate him. JS, please ask for me, how can I better understand my family dynamics? I have many brothers and sisters, all from the same mom and dad. They can all be very critical, but I do not like to think or be critical and cynical. All of them are more mature than me, and I seem stuck in immaturity, and I'm 30 years old. Their lives are quite settled and nice, and mine is kind of the opposite right now. I would really love to hear what the sources have to say. Thanks so much, Jay. And Jay, I just want to make a comment. You are most, from everything that I know, you are a wanderer. You are one of those interdimensional people. You know, your family is at a lower level. They're more into human things. You have to go into higher things in order to ground yourself. And you're judging yourself for looking at other people as being more together than you. It's just that you have a different path, and you still haven't discovered your path. So don't judge yourself. And don't judge your family. Don't look don't think because I say this you're superior to your family. It's just that you came into that family. You chose to come into that to bring you into this realm. But similar to my situation, I chose a family to come into that I didn't really have a big spiritual connection with. And their purpose was just to bring me here so I could do my spiritual work. And that I think your work is going to end up outside of your family. And they'll gain, you'll gain their respect as you accomplish things being totally true to yourself rather than trying to please them and their opinion of you. Right now it's tough because they're not giving you a good opinion of yourself. So allow yourself to just observe that and not take it seriously and not let it strike you because you do have a purpose. Let me turn it over to our sources and let them share their perspective.
Thank you. We look at the situation and we impart love and caring to you. We see that your brothers and sisters have secured some part of opulence for the survival existing, getting the wherewithal to exist within the third dimension. And they are using this as a standard for you. However, you have your own standards. You have your own life. You have your own interests. And you have your own goals, which you are still formulating. And to follow your star is very important to you. And it will be important to the success of this lifetime for you. For moving into their goals will not fulfill you. Therefore, it takes some strength to stand within your own person, within your own footprint. And when you are giving yourself credit and are moving within your own interests, you will be able eventually to secure their respect. So do not be disheartened in that they wish you to be like them, as you are your own person, and we the Elohim, we see your person, and we send you strength that you can feel stronger within your own footprint, and not like you need to be moved into your brothers and sisters' footprints or the footprint of society in society's mores towards the success as society sees it. We send you strength to follow your path, and we send you, we impart love and strength to you, and thank you for your question.
Thank you. I have a question, and it's going to lead into another question that somebody did tonight. And by the way, there is room for a couple more questions. If anyone wants to email it anywhere, email it right away and we'll get to it. It's always a great thing to ask a question like Jay did. It can change your life to ask a question like that. So take the opportunity. Don't think you're being stupid or dumb. That was really beautiful question, Jay, and relevant. Now, my question is, there's all kinds of things that people believe. They believe, and let's say in particular in a spiritual sense, they believe in Allah, they believe in Jesus, they believe in Yahweh, they believe in God knows who, you know, different names. And we have learned that historically, some of those names really relate to a high source, and others do not. And yet people still say they believe in that name, or they pray to that name. What is the impact on a person's destiny if they have chosen the name of, say, a lower source or even a negative source? And let's suppose they use that name, but they're able to tap into higher vibrations of love inside themselves. How important is the name of what you're believing in versus your ability to tap in to a higher love inside you? Thank you.
Thank you. One, when they have the concept of something, can place different words to it, but the concept that they hear is the important thing. When they are following the concept and are retrieving the connection to the higher realms through the concept, it does not matter if you then call it by another name. If the person is not following the concept, but is following, if it would be a lower entity that they were putting up as being the absolute truth, and they are receiving distortions from that connection with that entity, then this can throw them into a spin and can throw them off.
In this particular situation, where people use certain names to call on people, since we believe you're one of those sources that answers those calls, that hears them, how does it look to you? I mean, can somebody be saying, Yahweh, help me, and you answer? And is that okay without violating their free will because their intention is high and they're using a different name? What's your criteria for listening in and responding?
Our criteria is their intention. What is their intention? If they are calling to Yahweh and we see their light, we see their pure intention, we see their pure asking, then we will participate. We will give support. We will give assistance where we can. If they are closed to another distortion within the word of Yahweh, it will show in their intention. It will show in their frequency. It will show in the intensity of their light. And then we grant free will for their intention to exist as it is and to be put out and either answered or not answered in the direction that they are moving.
Thank you. Don Herman, Don, you've been asking really good questions for the past couple of months. I thank you for that. Tonight, he asks, everyone has had the experience of having an idea just pop into their head. What are the possible sources of these ideas, and how can we encourage ideas that are beneficial for us and the world? Thank you. Don.
We take into account questions you have asked, and we see that you are connected with Source. You are connected with our group. You are connected with the God Source. And we see your yearning for the truth and for understanding. And therefore, the questions that the ideas that pop into your mind are sometimes divinely inspired as the divine is working with you. Other times, it is a copy of something in your environment that you have not physically connected with, but that telepathically connected with, as there are, much like radio waves can be picked up by a radio receiver, you as a receiver can pick up vibrations and ideas from the surroundings. There is another source of ideas that pop into one's mind, and that is from past lives where you have had a certain orientation in the past lives, a certain way of looking at something, and in this life it may pop right into your head when there is a similar circumstance. There is another source of ideas that pop into one's mind, and that is where in some distant past, some ancient past, you have been programmed by some beings to have certain ideas in a pattern, so that when one idea is in the environment or you were thinking one idea, it can cut into some of those programmed trains of thought that in their attempt in ancient times to train you or to control you or to make you a better person or to give you some kind of rote knowledge, that those ideas can be triggered and pop into your mind. And you may look at those ideas and say, wow, but, you know, that doesn't make sense, or that's wrong, that's inappropriate. And those ideas can just simply be discarded, let move past, come in and go on, as those are not ideas that even deserve to be entertained.
Thank you. Good answer for Don. Thank you, Don. Question from Carolyn in Anchorage. And she asks, exactly why is Sedona a mecca for metaphysical, spiritually oriented people? And I'd like to make some comments that we've obviously asked questions about that before. And one of the things that came up was that the mountains here, if you've ever looked at a picture of Sedona, it's surrounded with unusual mountains that are red.
and that they have, I believe, a high iron core, and they pull a lot of energy in from the higher realms, which then people call vortexes. And then I believe Sedona has attracted people to this location because people of a certain ilk are more sensitive to those energies, and they're pleasant to be around. I also think that there's sometimes where the negative uses a location like Sedona to get the strongest people together so that they can keep them out of trouble and keep them compressed. Because my experience is that many people in Sedona, on one level, have a certain expansion, but on another level, they don't. They're blocked to a certain area. I say it because so few of them recognize what I'm doing here. And I used to think that they should, and I would be kind of going around, but then I realized that I was not here for that group. I was here for a bigger group in a different way. But it surprised me at one point that I didn't feel connected to the Sedona people. So, on that note, let me turn it over to our sources through Terry and let them answer this in their way.
Thank you. Sedona does have a lot of iron, and it does create a certain force field. As there are magnetics involved. Magnetics have not been thoroughly recognized in this period of time, and the potential for creation energies using magnetics. Individuals drawn to this area are looking sometimes to the beauty of the rocks, the red rocks. Of course, in the creation of the sheer cliffs, there was much energy expended in the past. Not everyone looks at the sheer cliffs as being beautiful, but looked at it as the expenditure of the change, the destruction that went on within those cliffs at some distance past. The energies that are present in the area attract a number of people. It attracts some psychics that practice here. At some point, the energies are too much for many people, and they move back out of Sedona. As the underlying energies to some are too severe, and they wish a softer energy environment. It is popular for tourists, so there is a big tourist trade. It is popular for the Warsees to who moved here, or individuals who have been successful in their life to retire here? Thank you.
Thank you. Now, while we're talking about Sedona, I would like to mention two places which people refer to. One is Mount Shasta and one is Four Corners. And in both cases, there are supposed to be underground stuff there that's not necessarily of the positive. Is there a mixed polarity in whatever is drawing people to those areas?
There is a mystery concerning Mount Shasta with tales of Bigfoot. It is a beautiful area, also having tales of hollow area under the mountain, with other beings, other touchings that are there. Four Corners also has a similar reputation, more toward other beings that are there. These areas draw people who are particularly Mount Shasta are looking for answers to mysteries and hope that they can connect with some of the higher beings or other beings in the area.
Thank you. We have a question from Margaret in New Zealand. And hi, Margaret. I'm so glad that you're tuning into our calls regularly. And this is a question related to Dr. Friedman's talk on Monday about St. Matthew and Jesus. And Dr. Friedman's on the line listening. And like I said, we don't take anything to be the authority. We just put it into the middle and let everyone make up their mind. So, and you can deal with this however you choose. But Margaret says, to clarify, I do not believe any particular thing, and I'm always interested in learning new things, as we are seeming to grow up a bit now, entering into the heart realm or chakra. The invitation is there, at least. The other thought is that Jesus might give information when we are ready for it, and even now, some are not ready. Yet, that would be lying, wouldn't it? Through Glenda Green, and that's someone, though Glenda Green is certainly ready for it. I imagine that she is someone that Margaret believes is channeling Jesus. However, other groups of a more religious persuasion might not. Yet Jesus always talks about the truth, so I expect true facts about it in a simple matter. My only confusion is, as the universe runs on relationships, why all the questions and confusions regarding Jesus about the most natural relationship we have? Living our life with a relationship of companionship and marriage, if chosen, what's the big problem over this question? Was an extraordinary man, Jesus, Yeshua, actually married? Thank you for your tolerance, Wynn, but it seems simple to me. Maybe it's not always that simple. He either was married or he wasn't. Sincerely, with blessings. And, of course, Margaret is saying that there's a number of people that have said he was married. And as we heard on Monday, Dr. Friedman said he was married and then went to France. And so how would you like, you can approach that question however you see fit. Thank you.
You're asking the Elohim?
Yes.
Thank you. Jesus was a very research for the world. He was outgoing, he was friendly, he was caring, and he did have a very good relationship. And he had much experience in meeting people, in traveling through the world. He enjoyed other people. He is working today with people to help further and assist their growth. As we heard, as husband said, he was married.
Thank you. Is that the end of it?
Yes. Does anyone else have anything to contribute? They're welcome.
Okay. Let me see here if... Okay, here's a question from Dharmananda in Santa Cruz area. And his question is, how did Jesus raise the dead? Assuming he did, since that's hearsay. I think he did, but none of them. You know, one of the things about asking questions on these calls is that there are people that are using their own personal various ways of understanding history, and it's working for them. And even if their understanding is a little off, or, you know, the things that are not exactly true in the way they're thinking it, it doesn't matter because it's working. It's connecting them to higher realms. And it would be counterproductive to the planet to start taking inventory of people and saying specifically, here's what they did, here's how they did it, and where things were different than what was normally accepted by religions, etc. So I've noticed that when we ask those questions publicly, the Elohim do not want to be, don't seem to take the position of wanting to be an authority of a know-it-all and giving the answers, particularly where there's someone who is using a way of looking at things that might be slightly inaccurate, who might burst their bubble by telling them this, that, or the other thing. So, I think, am I accurate when I say that? Let me just ask them. Am I on the right track?
We have an answer for the question.
Yes, go ahead.
Jesus believed that the person could come back to life. In fact, the person really was not dead. The person, we say, the person was still alive, but the body had died. The person was ready to resume the life. They needed the body to be restored. Jesus had the power, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to be able to restore the body, to be able to reconnect the areas of the body that had become disconnected and dysfunctional. And he was able, through his belief, through the belief of the person who wished to come back to life, to work with that body to restore its vibrancy, to restore its prana, to restore it back to life.
Was the Elohim or Ra group in particular working directly with Jesus when he would do something like this?
It was the person. It was the working with the body of the person by all life force converging together upon the area. It was not particularly us, the Elohim. It was not particularly the Ra group. It was the universal life force, the God force, all of the vectors converging together to restore into true form that body.
Thank you. You know what? We have about 3 or 4 minutes left. I'd like to take a moment and just create a group intention for personal and planetary healing before we leave this call. And we know in particular we'd like to send, let's just move into that space. Shut your eyes and feel the energy leaving the top of your head, moving into that zone of oneness where we all connect. And we move that energy to the Philippines and the souls that were killed in the typhoon. And those beings that are still in bodies that lost their houses. And we put a protective shield around New York City and the East Coast. We do this because we asked some questions recently, and that there were things that were potentials for that area that could be fairly difficult. So we asked for protection around New York City and the entire East Coast. And we ask for the light to reach every person on this planet that's reaching up, that's reaching for spirit, that's reaching for truth, that's reaching for God. We send this light to them in a reach back. And we surround our planet with this energy. We also send the light to all of you who are in need of healing, of jobs, of anything that's missing from your life to make you feel complete. And thank you all for being here. I thank Dr. Friedman again for joining us today. And we look forward to sharing more with him, and thank Terry and everyone who's volunteering. And it's 7:56. I'm going to unmute everybody. Here we go. Unmute. Are you ready? Nope. Not unmuting. There we go. We
thank
are
you,
ready.
Terry.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mother Wynn.
Thank you. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
You're getting more thank yous than me, Terry. You see that?
Yeah.
They're putting up with me. Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you all.
I need to talk to you too, sir.
Who is that, Chris?
Yeah.
Only because we like it.
All right.
We love you both.
I know you do. I'm glad. Terry, it's you know, believe it or not, like that call, that question that was asked today from Jay, you know, who was feeling it with her parents, believe it or not, you know, that is really common. I mean, I felt like that most of my life, but it was only until I started doing this work that I hooked in. And Terry has as well. So it's kind of like, it actually so wonderful to see Terry blooming and, you know, being able to hold front and center space, even though she's shy, and enjoying the work. So thank you all for helping her through all that. I'll see you.
When did you hear me, Dr. Freeman? Call me after a while, please.
What did you say?
Call me after a while, please.
I will. Okay. We'll do it. Okay? And we'll see you all. And Chris, too. Chris, I'm going to put you off till tomorrow, okay? Because there's things I have to get done, okay? Email me. You can keep emailing me and jogging me, all right?
All right.
All right? So,
your conference recording has stopped.